Hello, listeners. You are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me, as always, live from the That's Entertainment capital of the world, Hampton, Maine, it's my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, how are you on this September evening?
I'm very good. I was just eating out, and we were sitting outside on the water, and it was beautiful. So it's starting to get a little chilly at night, but it was still really nice, though.
Okay.
Are your nights getting colder there?
They, at the end of August, they were getting a little chilly. Like, Labor Day weekend was not. It was like, it was dipping into the 50s overnight, but then it's warmed back up a bit, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, ours are, we had a few 40s. These few nights have been in low 50s, but it's still cool. But just means the summer's over, almost.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, for September in New York, it's like the sunset is sooner and sooner. But it's not really getting that much colder. Like, I certainly don't need a jacket. I'm still wearing my summer clothes every day.
Yeah, during the day.
It's supposed to get back up into 80 on Friday the 19th, they're saying. Bonus beach day. But then it's going to cool down like 10 degrees for the weekend. And then Monday's the first day of fall. And it's like, and then it's going to warm back up for the first day of fall. So.
Oh, you just can't predict.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, that's, I'm prepared for that anyway. At least where I've been living, I figure mid-April to mid-October is like shorts weather for me.
Yeah, my kids used to do that. I'm still wearing them during the day, but probably by October I won't be able to anymore, so.
Yeah, well, before we get into our main business tonight, with all this weather talking we were doing, I did want to remind you, I think you brought this up a while back. I don't know if you meant it seriously or in jest, but I do want one of our future full-length episodes to be about pop weather-related pop culture.
Oh. Okay. Did I brought that up?
I thought so. I think so. I think you said that one time, maybe earlier this year, or maybe like a year ago. You're like, we should do a whole episode where we just talk about the weather in movies and on TV shows.
I sort of remember that because I said we always start out talking about that, so we should just do a episode about that. So yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, and also I just remembered, like right before we started recording, I think I may have mentioned like 4 years ago, or 5 years ago actually, we were going to do a wedding themed episode. Because we were gonna, at Wesley's wedding, we were gonna like talk to people and say, what's your favorite pop culture wedding of all time?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that was, it ended up being a socially distanced wedding
for a lot of us.
But we do have an in-person wedding coming up soon.
Yes.
Past That's Entertainment guest, my sister Katie is getting married at the end of October, so we might be able to revive that idea for during those festivities.
If people don't get mad at us for asking,
well, I'll ask the bride and groom permission.
Yeah,
if it's okay if I bring my my portable recorder with me.
Okay, they might not want to, but yeah, that's fine though. We'll see.
Yeah.
So,
But yeah, in the meantime, yeah, it's fall of 2025, September. That means a new season of TV. A new season of That's Entertainment. This is, I guess, officially our season premiere is our Emmys recap episode. Because when the new TV season starts, that means we're looking back at everything we watched the past year. So this is, our seventh time talking about the Emmys.
If we did it the first season, I don't remember if we did. Probably.
I think that was our first episode, actually, 6 years ago.
Okay, so wow. Nice.
I was actually over the weekend, I was just like listening to our old Emmys episode just to remind me of what we were talking about. And we were talking about how Celia Ward won an Emmy back in 2000.
Oh, we were talking about it at the at our first podcast.
Yeah, because we were talking about our earliest Emmy watching memories, and
Oh.
that's that year's ceremony was the first one I remembered watching.
Oh, okay. Wow. 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We're still alive.
Jeez.
But anyway, yeah, so usually on That's Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three F's: first, favorite, and forever. And as I just mentioned, that was the Emmys were the very first topic that we covered. So we already discussed the firstness and the favoriteness of all time about the Emmys. And every year since then, we've made it a tradition to recap our reactions to the most recent Emmys ceremonies. So the 77th Primetime Emmys aired on CBS on Sunday, September 14th. The big winners were in the limited series category, Adolescence; in the comedy category, The Studio; and in the drama category, it was The Pitt won Outstanding Drama Series, but it was kind of a mix for in the other drama categories. But yeah, so that's a quick overview for anyone who didn't watch or needed to be reminded of who the winners were. But yeah, we're going to talk about, as we usually do, our reactions to the winners and the hosts and the presenters and anything else interesting that happened during the ceremony. So yeah. Aunt Beth, what reactions do you want to start with?
Well, I kind of broke it down like favorite moments of winners, speeches, and the host. I forgot about the presenters, although.
Maybe they
But
didn't make that much of an impression this
well,
year.
there were a couple good ones.
Okay.
But my favorite moments were most often when someone that I wanted to win did, because I'd sit here and by myself and watch it, and they'd announce it, and I'd be like, "Yay!" So I was very happy about, especially because these were shows that I really liked, Catherine Lanasa and Noah Wyle from The Pitt, Tramell Tillman from Severance, who also, did I put him? He also had, oh yeah, I liked his suit. Who else do I have here? Oh, and Owen Cooper from Adolescence, just
Okay.
because he was very raw and he's 15 and he was very cute.
Yeah.
The one that I was really sad was rooting for that didn't win was Kathy Bates for Best Actress in a Drama. I like Britt Lauer and I have watched Severance, but I was just hoping that I read something that they were predicting that she would win,
Kathy
so I got
Bates.
my hope. Yeah, so I got my hopes up. Because she was so fabulous in Matlock. Did you watch that?
I'm still getting caught up on the first season. I think I
Okay.
have six or seven episodes left, so I don't know. It's going to be real tight whether I catch up completely
With
before
it
season two comes
before it
out.
starts, yeah. But I thought she was very good in that. So I don't know. Do you want me to keep going with the speeches and skit, or do you want to say some of your favorite winners and
Well, I'll react. I'll offer my reactions to the winners as well. And yeah,
okay.
I was expecting Kathy Bates to win as well. I think she maybe won the Golden Globe most
I know. Now
recently.
I'm trying. I think she did, although I'm not 100% sure now. That was so long ago.
Yeah, look it up real quick. And I think she might have also won the Critics' Choice Award, but in those cases, she wouldn't have been competing against Britt Lauer because Severance didn't premiere until early 2025, so the Golden Globes was calendar year
Oh, okay.
2024.
Mm-hmm.
no, Kathy Bates did not win the Golden Globe. She lost to Anna Sawai for Shogun.
Who was
the Emmy winner last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Kathy won something. Maybe it was Critics' Choice or
because I swear
I saw her win. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't too upset about that because I'm pretty sure Kathy Bates has won Emmys before. At least she's been nominated before, and she has an Oscar.
Yeah,
you know, if I'd had a ballot, an Emmy ballot this year, I would have voted for her. But I was like, I like Britt Lauer too. Mm-hmm. Severance is my favorite show of the year. I'm not too upset about that. I also really liked Britt Lauer before Severance on the show Man Seeking Woman, which was the first show I ever
saw. Yeah, I'd never seen her before, so.
But yeah, so that was a case where my top choice lost, but my second choice won.
Mm-hmm.
And my top choice already has plenty of hardware in her house, so I'm sure Kathy Bates is sleeping peacefully these days. So you watched The Pitt and Severance, both of them?
Yes.
Because I thought those were the two biggest top contenders for drama series. And
I loved The Pitt, and I recommended it to Katie because it takes place in Pittsburgh in a hospital. I don't know if she ever did watch it, but I had read a little bit about it before it came on, and I started it, and I got hooked right away. I didn't realize it was going to do so well, but I think you would like it. It's very well done, and it's not quite as confusing as Severance. I mean, I love Severance, but some of the time I'm like, wait, what the heck is going on? So
yeah,
you got to pay a little more attention.
I've never really watched any hospital set dramas. Like I never watched ER, never watched Grey's Anatomy. Just
there's
never really anything that interests me. I've really heard only good things about The Pitt.
Yeah. Like,
it's just not a genre I've ever.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Sampled.
I wonder. Yeah. I watched ER, which I really liked. I haven't watched many since then. But that would be interesting if you ever had time to watch this to see what you thought, though.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I don't know if there's some sort of TV industry disaster and they stop producing shows for a full year, so I have time to catch up.
You have time to catch up on all of them.
Do you remember? I guess what was it 3 months ago now when we were recording our Handmaid's Tale episode, and I made a prediction of who I thought the Emmy winners would be for comedy series and drama series.
I'm pretty sure you said The Studio, right?
I did.
And do you remember did you say Severance?
I think I did predict Severance. So the Pitt beat it out.
Yeah,
but I bet Severance finished in second place.
Mm.
But some other winners that I was surprised about. Speaking of the drama category, so yeah, the Pitt and Severance split the acting awards.
Yeah,
but then neither of them won for directing or writing. Slow Horses won for directing, and Andor won for writing.
Yeah,
huh.
I know. Interesting. It was kind of nice in a way that. I read somebody, I forget where I read it, probably I got an email about it, that they liked that it was not as predictable as some of the other. I mean, I like that too. I hate when I'm watching, especially with the Oscars, and it's like, okay, that this person's going to win and this person. It's kind of nice to have a few surprises. So I enjoyed that. Yeah.
I think the biggest surprise of the night for me was when Jeff Hiller won for supporting actor in a comedy.
Yeah.
For Somebody Somewhere, which was like hardly got any nominations. I was like, oh, interesting.
Who was he against that they thought might, I forget who else was in that category.
I thought Ike Barinholtz was going to win based on, just based on the overall strength of the studio. And Eben Moss Backrack had won for The Bear. He'd won the past 2 years. So they mm-hmm. seem like the two most likely. But yeah, somehow, like every once in a while, there's someone who wins in an otherwise underseen show. Somehow they sneak yeah. in and make enough of an impression.
Yeah, I like that.
I think there was also some speculation maybe Harrison Ford could win for Shrinking.
Oh, yeah, that's who I was thinking was. Yeah. And he's very good in that. Have you watched that one?
I do, yes.
Yeah. I love when he plays a comedic role because he's very funny.
But yeah, I did not watch Somebody Somewhere, but I enjoyed the surprise win nonetheless, because I think I have seen Jeff Hiller in various things, just popping up in small roles, and he seems like a nice guy. So
I know he did seem like a nice. I did watch. I don't know if I watched the whole first season or part of it, but that was a while ago, so I don't even remember him that much. But yeah, I was kind of happy.
All right, so I guess, yeah, we talked about our reactions to the winners. How about reactions to ceremony elements, like Nate Bargatze hosting, and any other moments that stuck with you?
So for Nate, who I loved very much and think he's one of the funniest stand-ups around, I was a little disappointed because he was very nervous about taking on the hosting duties, mm-hmm. and that showed a bit. His opening skit was great, the Philo T. Farnsworth Invites TV, because it was based on his SNL skit. Yeah. And so I thought that was funny. But mm-hmm. then after that, you know, it doesn't really give him a chance to show off his, you know, he's used to doing stand-up, and he's not as quick on, like, I don't know, you know, when there's the different, I guess, his reactions to some of the other moments.
Well, I think his style, he's a very, nice isn't necessarily the right word, but he's a personable stand-up comic. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And the typical style for award show host is to make fun of people. Not necessarily nastily, not necessarily full on roasting. Some hosts have done it that way, but there's a way. I think the best ones have threaded the needle of making fun of everyone there while also making it clear, like, we love you, but we're going to make fun of you mercilessly. And that's mm-hmm. not typically his style. He didn't really mm-hmm. try to do that, but he also, I think the other, he didn't really find a decent replacement idea. The one main thing he did was the donation thing and mm-hmm. for the Boys and Girls Club, and the how that was set up as a timer for everyone's acceptance speech. If they went over, was it 45 seconds?
Yeah.
And the amount he would donate went down. And if they went under, if their speech was shorter than that, then the amount he was donating went up. And most of the times they cut back to him, it was just him updating the money status. So what did you think of that, that donation idea and
I saw a clip of him on Jimmy Kimmel before that telling him about it, and it sounded good, but I don't think he thought it was going to go down so much like that. I think he was a little surprised by that.
Well, I think also a lot of the winners were caught off guard by it. It's because, I mean, 45 seconds is not crazy. That long for
no, a it's speech. Not.
I think like the comedians and people who won multiple times or had won before, like John Oliver and Seth Rogen, they're like, they adapted well to it and mm-hmm. knew how to give a fast speech and do it funny. and, you know, fit into what Nate was doing. But other people who were like first time winners and, you know, don't have like improv experience or other comedy experience, they're just focusing on thanking the people they want to thank.
Yeah.
And saying the heartfelt message they had prepared. And then this clock pops up and they're like, oh, I don't want to take money away from the kids.
I know. That was probably worked a little bit negatively towards what, or that he, that I don't think was his purpose or his point. Yeah. So, he tried it. I mean, because that's always the big thing, you know, let's keep it under a certain time. And so I guess he'll know next time or whatever. That's not going to work. That's 45 seconds. That's another silly thing because some of the presenters are up there doing a bit that takes, you know, they could take away from that sometimes. I mean, some of them are funny, but I like what he said. It's the something about the people. They don't take time from the presenters, just the people that worked hard or worked hard to get their award. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, 45 seconds really is quick, especially for these people, like you said, that just it's their first time winning. That must be so exciting. You want to get up there and I mean, not that there should, I guess, be some kind of limit, but you don't want them up, you know, you don't want them talking and talking, but I think they need a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to resolve that, but
I mean, I think just when you're producing these shows, you just have to calculate a certain, you have to be generous with calculating the amount of time that acceptance speeches are going to be.
Yeah.
Like that, that's, if you want to keep the running time tight, like that's not the best way to, to compress it. Because it's tough to control. But you can control other moments, how long they're going to be. But like those, and those are often some of the best moments when you have a surprise winner or people just have, are excited to win. And then they say something, you know, in an excited state, and it's more interesting than when they're just reading off a teleprompter.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they could start the show at 7:30 or, you know, have a half hour extra or something. It's just silly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it with Nate. And I felt like the ceremony was okay. Nothing else really stands out except, like we were saying, the surprise winners I enjoyed. And who, there were a couple, I'm trying to think. I liked Lauren Graham and what's her name?
Alexis Bledel.
Yeah, their little thing. And there was somebody else that was a few funny presenters, but that was it for this host.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I had another couple of presenters that I enjoyed. I liked Leanne. Leanne Morgan, is that her last name? Presented for a reality series, and she said the names of each of those shows describes something in her life.
Yes, that was funny. She's very funny. Have you heard her much?
I watched one episode of her show, her Netflix show.
Oh, that doesn't show off her. Stand-up is better.
I watched it because my parents had watched it, and I saw who was playing her husband or her ex-husband. One of our good old buddies from Whose Line.
Oh, that's right. Ryan?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, that's right. I think I just watched the first two. That was a while ago, and then I haven't gone back to it. But I've seen her a lot of one of her specials, and then I've seen her as guests on things, and I get clips on my phone, and is quite funny.
Mm-hmm. So. And the one other presenter that I enjoyed was Jeff Probst when he did the scripted variety series, which only had two nominees, just SNL and Last Week Tonight. And they were like, okay, it's the tribal council for the scripted variety shows. The tribe has spoken, and here's the winner. So,
it was
a silly way to present, you know, a silly category that only has two nominees this year.
I know.
And then, so you mentioned Tramiel Tilton. You liked his outfit. Did you like his speech as well? I remembered him.
Yeah. So then, in the speeches, I wrote down his Jeff Hiller, Stephen Colbert, mm-hmm. Owen Cooper, and Kristen Milioti. I always liked her. And then I enjoyed Hannah Einbender's comment about referring to the length when she said she'll pay the difference. I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those were.
Yeah, well, I think we also, I also enjoyed the people you mentioned, their speeches. I think Kristen Milioti was the most excited winner. She just loves acting.
Yeah, she was. You could tell. I know she was just. Yeah, I like her. And she, even though I didn't see her in that, but
yeah, I believe that was the only limited series category presented that that night that did not go to Adolescence.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. They won a lot.
But yeah, I think we have to talk a little bit more about Stephen Colbert, because I think he was the most popular winner of the night.
The
Late Late Show won for variety talk series. And I think a big reason for that was because, that show has been canceled. It's currently airing its final season. It's scheduled to end next June. And a lot of people think that decision was politically motivated.
Yes,
at least he and his staff had a moment of triumph.
Yeah,
Emmys this year,
and it was nice to see all the support that everybody gave him, because that was pretty special.
You didn't happen to watch John Oliver on Jimmy Kimmel the next night, did you?
No.
He was on the night after the Emmys, and so Colbert's show, the other two nominees in that category were The Daily Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live. The Daily Show, I think, had won the past couple of years, but Jon Stewart and Jimmy Kimmel said, "We're voting for Colbert. You know, we're not voting for our shows. We're voting for him this year." And they're all friends with each other. So when John Oliver was on, he's like, obviously, I wanted Colbert to win too, but so that would have been the best outcome. But the funniest outcome would have been if you, Jimmy, had won instead. What would you have done if you had won instead of Colbert this year?
What did he say?
He was basically like, I think he said I had that same thought, and I was panicking. And
nobody else wanted to win in that category.
Yeah. But based on the reaction from the crowd that night, it sounded like Colbert was the unanimous winner.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. So I think that covers everything I wanted to mention. Do you have any other thoughts left on your notes?
Just when you, I didn't, I was pretty much done, but when you mention about Adolescence again, about the one thing that they didn't win, I just highly recommend that. It was the kind of show that was difficult to watch, but when it ended, I remember thinking, people need to see this. Mm-hmm. And the acting was phenomenal. The Stephen Graham, one of my clients said he's a huge Stephen Graham fan. He's watched him for like 20 years. And I said, I don't know if I've got to look him up, because he did look a little familiar, but I'm not sure if I've seen him in other things. So, but yeah, you said you didn't watch it, Jeff.
I didn't know.
That's when you, it's only four episodes, mm-hmm. so it goes pretty quick. And just to see this, Owen Cooper, this was his first time acting. And I think it was 2 years ago, so I think he was 13. And I mean, it's just, oh, I can't even describe. I'm just saying that people should watch it. So, okay. Otherwise, that's it.
Yeah, I'm looking through Stephen Graham's filmography, and he's been in several movies that I've seen. He was in Blitz just last year, Venom, The Last Dance. He was in Matilda the Musical. Actually, he's been in multiple Venom movies. He was in The Irishman. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ever been had a huge role in anything. But I also enjoyed when I think he also one of the writers on the show?
Yeah.
So he and the other writer are about a foot difference in height.
Yes, I know. That was a riot.
Jack Thorne.
He's really little. Other
writer. Yeah.
Yeah, and they seemed very excited. Yeah, I think he wrote it, and I don't know if I'm pretty sure he developed it, or you know, and I think he might have even been a producer on it. So, Okay, we can move on from that.
All right. So, who do you think's going to win next year?
Oh, I don't know. Depends if any of these has the studio been renewed for another season.
I assume so.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Apple's pretty good about renewing stuff that does well.
Yeah.
And I think The Pit is coming back
fairly soon. That's definitely coming back, so I'm excited about that.
So I think they'd have to be the favorites to repeat. If they have solid second seasons, you know, unless something new comes along and that everyone falls in love with. But,
and it definitely could.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Now's the time in the show where we can promote anything we're up to, and we can also recommend stuff that answers the question, is there anything you'd like to recommend that you can enjoy with your aunts and or nephews? Aunt Beth, anything to promote or recommend?
Nothing to promote. I always forget that you say you can watch with your nephews or nieces, because some of these that I'm recommending you probably wouldn't. So,
well, you can watch them with your adult nephews and nieces.
Your adult, yes. So there's two that I'm watching now. The Task on HBO with Mark Ruffalo. Mm-hmm. That's very good. There's only two episodes out. And The Girlfriend is on Prime with Robin Wright and the girl we like, Olivia Cooke.
Uh-huh.
Was she in Earl and the
Dying Girl?
Yeah. And then these are two that are coming up. This was just your dad and I were, well, no, one of them. The Lowdown starts next week on FX with Ethan Hawke, who your dad and I are huge fans of.
I'm a huge fan too.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Then had you read anything about it?
I'm hearing, I've seen headlines of reviews that are all great. I haven't read any reviews in full yet, but it sounds like it's well liked.
Yeah.
And do you know who the creator is?
Yes. That's the guy from Reservation Dogs.
Yeah. Sterling Hardy. Yes. Yeah.
I know. So that made me even more excited. And then this one looked kind of funny. It's Chad Powers with, what's his name? My mind just went blank.
Glenn Powell.
With Glenn Powell. That's going to be on Hulu in September 30th. Then this one, you had said we should recommend this, but I'm not sure how people can watch it because it was already on. So my niece was on a show called Chopped on the Food Network in September.
Yes, your niece, Emma Woods.
Emma Woods. And it's really fun to watch, but I don't know if is there a way to watch those, you know, once they've already been shown?
So I was looking up, I think there are previous episodes on, I think, on HBO Max.
Oh.
But
not this season though.
Probably. Not the current season. But yeah. I think if you get cable and if you have Food Network, you can see it's season 62, episode 5. It's called Soul Searching. That's like
season 62.
Yeah. Well, I think I don't. How it hasn't been possible? On for 62 years, but I guess they have like multiple seasons per year. Okay, but yeah, so the episode is called Soul Searching.
Yeah.
Soul like the Korean city.
Yeah.
S-E-O-U-L. So if it seems like that Food Network just reruns episodes of Chopped over and over. So you can look through your channel guide, see if that's being rerun. Otherwise, yeah, wait until it comes on to maybe in a year or so. It'll be on HBO Max.
Okay. Did you ever end up watching it? You
said I did. Yeah, I had it on my DVR and I watched the next day. So yeah, I
don't
saw
give it away. But
I
yeah,
guess would be better not spoil. That.
Yeah, well, it was enjoyable.
It is a competition show. What's that?
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I thought it was a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, so, I don't watch too many cooking shows, but
no, okay? I don't usually.
This is a cousin of my cousin's.
Yes, I appreciate that you watched it. So, I don't often watch those. I'm not wild about them, but when you know somebody, it makes it pretty a lot more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So that's it for mine.
Okay. Well, I'll, as usual, promote our Patreon. You can support us that way if you'd like to. And Ken Jeong, you still have an open invitation to appear on this show. I'll also promote that I was on another podcast recently, the Saturday Night Network podcast, which is a podcast that you might guess discusses Saturday Night Live. And this summer, they've been doing a countdown of the 50 greatest episodes of all time. And I was on one a few weeks ago where we were discussing the 9th, 8th, and 7th best episodes.
Okay. Say the name of it again.
The Saturday Saturday Night Network.
Okay.
Yeah. So listeners of the podcast voted for, including myself, we voted for the best episodes of all time. So, and actually they just wrapped up their countdown this past week. So, should I spoil I give a hint of what the best episode was?
You either can spoil it or you can tell me when we're done because I want to know now.
Well, I'll give a hint of the top three and then I'll tell you what they were after we're done recording. But for anyone who might want to go listen, the top three episodes, one was from the mid-90s, one was from the 70s, and one was from the mid-2000s. So it was a decent mix. Okay. Overall, the whole countdown was a decent mix of eras.
And I'm guessing from that the top one was from the 70s, but we'll see.
I'll let you know for sure in a few minutes.
Okay.
But I there's a few things I'd like to recommend. There was a dating show. I don't watch too many dating reality shows, but I watched one called Game Set Matchmaker, which you can watch on the US Open's YouTube channel. It's about people going on being set up on blind dates at the US Tennis Open.
Pretty low specific. Key, but
yeah. I've also been, Aunt Beth, and I know we've already talked about this. We both saw Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, in theaters. A sequel to one of the best comedy movies of all time, and they've still got it. They are still funny.
I think so.
So go see that one on a big screen before it goes away. And back to the small screen, I've been enjoying The Paper on Peacock.
Oh yeah, I'm watching that too. Yeah,
The Office.
I love
spin-off.
The lead,
Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, I love him.
And one more thing. I'm in the midst of a job hunt right now. I'm I still have my current job, but I'm looking for greener pastures. So if there's anyone out there listening that thinks I might be a good fit for some job, you know, feel free to reach out to me.
Okay.
But yeah, and okay, I guess that'll wrap things up. As usual, you can leave us a review. We might read it on air. You just go to your regular podcast app to do that, or you can go to ratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky. And yeah, we'll see you the next time we're recording. And certainly a year from now during the next Emmys wrap up.
Okay. Well, I will say what is good night then.
And I'll say keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.